Okay, good.
We got it.
All right.
Which wasn't hard.
It's true. Okay, so we are holding on Nun Gimel Amud Bey's fourth line of the wide lines.
Okay.
We're in the middle of discussing the question. Rabbi Huda had said that a man is Mizana with his mother, who is also his father's wife. Then he's only chayev on the one ground of aim of his mother and not on the grounds of Eshazah. So we're trying to figure out why Rabbi Huda would say that. So we started saying that you have a pasuk that says imchahi, so that's miyot, that only mishum imai, but then we said, what about eves eshazavicha, eves avichahi, where you also have a miyot over there, and then, so what would it mean? Then you have each one as being imai the other, so where does that leave us? Plus also we said that Rabbanon anyway, they need the words imchahi for a drasha that we're going to have later on in the sugya, that how we know that the same rules apply to whether she's his mother and his father's wife, or whether she's his mother and not his father's wife, that either way, Chayv Anu Mishum Aim, Rabbi Huda needs that drasha. So, Ela Omer of Acha Bredi Rabbi, so Omakra Ervosa. The Pasuk says, Lo Segala Ervosa, don't uncover her Erva, implying Ervosa Loshen Yochan, Mishum Erva Achas Atam Chayv, you can only be Mechayv him on the grounds of one Isser Erva, V'yat Mechayv Mishum Shtei Erva, so you can't be Mechayv him on the grounds of two, that it's Aim and that it's Eshazah. We're saying that we're trying to figure out why Rabbi Huda would say that for a mother who's also Eishes Av, why you're not chayev for both, because the pasuk says ervosa for erva, implying only one. The problem with that is elameyata. If you're going to go by that logic, what about the pasuk says ervas kalos chalos gale? What about the pasuk says later on the erva of your daughter-in-law you should not uncover?
Repeat that.
We're saying that if you're going to say that ervos stuff means only one erva, not two, and therefore that's where Rabbi Huda is getting it from, what about when it says by the daughter-in-law, it also says the same lashon ervosa, ervos kalos kalos gale, don't uncover, don't have relations with your daughter-in-law, eshes bin chayi, she's your brother, she's your son's wife, lois gale ervosa, don't uncover her erva. So you're going to say the same thing, that you can only be mechayev him on the grounds of one erva, not two. But we learn in the Mishnah, it's not like that. We said in the Mishnah that if somebody is mizana with his daughter-in-law, then he's chayev on her on the grounds that she's his daughter-in-law, and on the grounds of eshesish, meaning as we said yesterday, even if she remarried, Mrs. Bates we're talking about. I mean, when we say Mrs. Bates, then there's not relevant over here. That's when you have mom involved over here. But when we talk about over here about two counts, again, like Rashi said in the Mishnah, two counts, the point of how many counts there are would be how many chatois you would have to bring if it was b'shogeg. And then we had other mepharshim that said also if it was b'mezid, how many different counts
to one and one according to the other.
Everybody agrees, we're saying in the Mishnah, that if she's his daughter-in-law and she's married, then you chayev on her on two grounds. Mishum kavos, so that she's his daughter-in-law, or mishum eshesish, and that she's an eshesish. Ben b'chayev b'nei, ben l'acham eshes b'nei, whether the son is alive or whether the son, or whether after the son is dead. The light poly of Rabbi Huda, and Rabbi Huda doesn't disagree with that. So even though the pasuk says ervosa, it doesn't mean that Rabbi Huda says, therefore it means only one grounds of erva and not two. Ella. So we have to say, after all, why does the pasuk use the singular ervosa? Kiven dechad gufahu, since after all it's one guf, one woman, one person. Afagam tshei yisurininu, even though there can be two yisurim involved, kalosai and eshesish, ksiv ervosa. Nevertheless, the pasuk says ervosa for erva, because it's only one person. She only has one erva. Hachanami, the same thing over here. When it comes to the mother or the father's wife, kiven dechad gufahu, since it's one guf, one person, afagab b'tirei yisurin, you know, even though you could argue with two yisurim, ksiv ervosa. You could say that that's the only reason why it says ervosa, not for any special limud, and so you don't have a way of saying on the basis of that Rabbi Huda should say that because of the word ervosa, you would say if she's both your mother and your father's wife, that you only chayiv on one ground.
Ervasa
means one person, that's all. It doesn't mean one person. Ella Omar Rava. Rava rather answers like this. Let's go back.
The question again was
why Rabbi Huda is saying that if a man is Mizana with a woman who is both his mother and his father's wife, you know, if his parents were married when he was conceived, then he would be chayiv only on the grounds of Aim, only on the grounds of that she's his mother, not on the grounds of Eishes Av. Never mind Eshesish, because we could be talking about even let's say after his father died. Even after his father died, so Eshesish is not relevant anymore, but nevertheless she's still Imoy and she's still Eshes Aviv. She still considers she was at one time Eshes Aviv, and she is always Imoy. And Rabbi Huda is saying you're only chayiv on Imoy. We're trying to figure out why not. So one of the answers, so the first...
That's a good question, Ashish.
Right, so we said in the Mishnah, Tosfos had mentioned over there that we must be talking about after the father has died, right? Otherwise, yes, if one of the Chachamim, we'd have three great Amorim. Yeah. Okay. So let's go back. Ella Amar Rava. So no, rather Rava says we are going to go back to the answer that Abaya gave earlier in the middle of the Amorim, where when we first asked this question, why does Rabbi Huda say you're only chayiv on one ground? Abaya had answered, because you have a miut, since the pasuk says imcha hi, she is your mother, implying that's the only reason you chayiv. Instead of saying, it doesn't have to say imcha hi at all. It says, erves avicha ve'erves imcha le'zegale. Don't be mezane with your, don't uncover the error of your father or the error of your mother. We'll see soon in the Gemara what erves avicha means. It's two different opinions. Whatever. Erves imcha le'zegale. Imcha hi le'zegale avasa. The word imcha hi is not necessary. So therefore, we can darshan from the word imcha hi. We can darshan from the word hi. Abaya had said that you can only be mechayiv on the grounds of it. So now we asked on that. The problem is, the Gemara had said before, we slugged that up because we said, in that case, what about the next pasuk that says, Ervas Esha Savicha Leitagale, Ervas Savicha He? What are you going to do with the He over there? We said, what is it? One pasuk is going to be Mamayat that you're not Chayev on the grounds that she's your father's wife. The other is only the mother. The other is going to be Mamayat on the ground, there's going to be Mamayat, the grounds that she's your mother, only that she's your father's wife, and they contradict each other. So we asked that. So now, however, Rava is going to go back to that answer and say, because Kasavar of Yehuda, it's like this. Kasavar of Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda holds like this. When we say Ervas Avicha, when the pasuk starts off by saying Ervas Avicha ve'Ervas Imcha le'tegale. Now, the Chachamim hold, as we're going to say soon, that Ervas Avicha means there's an extra Isser on a man who commits Mishkav Zachor with his father. You have the regular Isser of Mishkav Zachor between any two men. You have the Chachamim hold. Ervas Avicha tells us an additional Isser, an additional Chiyuv Hatas, therefore, for a man who does that with his own father.
And that's
the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold it. Rabbi Yehuda holds the words Erva Savicha, Zu Eisha Savicha. He holds that the words, when it says Erva Savicha, the Erva Imcha Loitagale, Erva Savicha, he says, means not your father himself, but rather your father's wife. Umaisu Lo Gzeira Shava. He learns that from Gzeira Shava, as we're going to see soon. So therefore, so what does it mean? In other words, so Rashi explains at some length over here that Rabbi Yehuda is going to say like this. He's going to say, when it says Imcha Hi, then it is, when it says, Eretz Avicha ve'Eretz Imcha lo'itzegale, Imcha hi lo'itzegale ervasa, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that the word Imcha hi means, like we said before, like Abaya wanted to say before, it means you're only chayev on the grounds of Aim, not on the grounds of Eshes Av. What about the hi of the next pasuk? What about the next pasuk that says, Eretz Eshes Avicha lo'itzegale
ervasa?
We're going to see soon. We're going to say that we said that they use Imcha hi for a drosha of Rav Shisha Bered Rav Idi, which we're going to have near the end of the story. We'll see that later. But Rabbi Yehuda is going to take that first one for that drasha. Right. He doesn't need for Rav Shisha Bredi Rav Idi's drasha, Rashi says, because he's going to learn out the same thing Rav Shisha Bredi Rav Idi is going to learn out from Imcha Hi. He learns out instead from Gzeira Shava that we're going to see soon. So he has Imcha Hi available for that. What about the next pasuk that says Ervas Eishas Avicha Loisegala Ervas Avicha Hi, where we ask in that case, wouldn't the Hi be the same kind of miut? The answer is Rabbi Yehuda would say that miut teaches us that even if she's married, Ervas Eishas Avicha Loisegala Ervas Avicha Hi. What does Ervas Avicha Hi come to teach us? Even if she's still married to your father, here we're not talking about your mother anymore. Here we're talking about your stepmother. But if she's married to your father, you would think, so you're chayev mishum ervas eshes av, you would think you should also be chayev mishum eshes ish. She is an eshes ish, after all, your father was a fellow yid. The miut hi comes to tell us not that. That in that case, so in other words, Rabbi Yehuda will say like this. If she's your mother and your father's wife, then you're only chayev on the grounds of that she's your mother. If she's your father's wife, if she's your father's wife, you're not your mother, you can't be chayiv on the grounds she's your mother, she's not. But you're also not going to be chayiv on the grounds of Eishas Ish. The only thing you're going to be chayiv for is that she's Eishas Ish. And that's what we learned from the word Hi. That's what we learned from that word
Hi.
Because the second Hi, right.
Is there enough Tamina as far as the Misa that he would be?
No, either way it's going to be Skila. Either way, it's going to be skillet.
Now about korban chatos.
That's the difference. That's why Rashi says, if the guy was did it for shogeg, how many chatos would he have to bring?
Now, does anyone explain how someone can do it by shogeg?
He didn't know that this was his mother or
Eishes Av. It was still be an aver. He was going to do an aver with a penuya.
Let's say
and
for
so
example.
All of a sudden, he found out this penuya happened to be his stepmother. But
you could have other cases also. You know, you can have the case. You're
my mother.
Yeah.
but you remind me of my dear mother.
Guys, relax. But you know what, though? We all
you know, the guy that married a woman that looked reminded just of his mother.
Come on, guys, but you know what? You know what? When we eventually learn about the dinim of Oshem Toluri in Masechta Tristis in another year and a half or so, Bez Hashem, we will talk about cases. You can have a case over there, for example, where a man has his wife is with him at home, and one of these relatives that's also, such as his mother or whatever, and he has relations with one of them, and he's not sure afterwards which one it was, where then you have a case where you can have an Oshem Toluri. You have that as well. You have such circumstances also. You can have the shogeg that he meant to be with one, and accidentally he went, and then accidentally he went to the other one. Whatever.
Look, it happened to 1 year old when he lost his
place. This is also possible, right? Yeah.
And he grew up later. And
it's also possible. Such things are possible, Well, they were having his mother was dead. That's different. But we're talking about she's alive. But let's say, for example, imagine, for example, his parents divorced when he was young and his father took custody of him. And yet, he never really got to know his mother. Let's say, you could have that. You could have, besides that also, remember, you can also have shogeg where a person never learned these halachas. You can have it.
Right.
He never learned that his mother or his father's wife or whatever is also to him. And
he
later
must have
on,
been living under a rock, that guy.
Okay, Lama Zagan. But
right.
Among the goyim in those days, it wasn't necessarily so beyond the pale. Okay. Anyway. So Omar Rava Kasav Rabbi Yehuda Ervas Avicha Zu Eishes Avicha. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the word Ervas Avicha, when it says Ervas Avicha Ve'Ervas Imcha Lo Yitzgale, the word Ervas Avicha Zu Eishes Avicha, this refers to your father's wife. Umaisel of Gzeder Shava. He's going to learn it with Gzeder Shava that we're going to quote a brayta soon where he spells out what the Gzeder Shava is. Umashma that Ervas Avicha, unlike the Chachamim, we hold that Ervas Avicha means Mishkav Zachor with his father. Rabbi Yehuda holds that Ervas Avicha means his father's wife. Now, that implies that it's his father's wife, regardless whether she's his mother or not. What about imoy she'ine or eishes ovev minayin? In that case, how would you know that you chayev for znus with your mother, even if she was never your father's wife, if they never got married, or like we learned yesterday, even if they were never able to get married, because tradition wouldn't be typhus? Therefore, the pasuk says, the erva of your mother you should not uncover. She is your mother. And that implies, when the situation is that she's the mother, the only reason you can be mechayevim is mishum imay. In that case, regardless whether she was, even if she was married to him, you can't be mechayevim. Rabbi Yehuda would say, you can't be mechayevim. So Imcha he comes to tell us that if she's your mother, then that overrides everything else. And on the other hand, Ervas Avicha he comes to teach us. Ervas Avicha he comes to teach us that your father's wife is also to you regardless.
I think there should be a discussion on that. It's so important. It should be Moshe Nisinai. I mean, they shouldn't.
We have the dinim are accepted by everybody. The basic concept, who's Oster as Arias, is accepted by everybody. All arguing about is where we learn it from the story.
But here, according to Yehuda, it would be
that you have one pound versus
two.
Okay, that's not something that it's also either way. The only question is, how many chataris are you going to bring? Okay. Can you cover Seder Rava?
Simple question.
Okay, but nevertheless, it's something that could have been mixed up. Tanya covers Seder Rava. We learn a brisa in accordance with Rava's explanation of Rabbi Yehuda. The pasuk says Ish Asher Yishkav as Eishes Aviv. So the word Ish is prat l'katan, comes to exclude a katan, as we discussed yesterday. I saw, by the way, besides the explanations that we were talking about yesterday, why we have to be mamayah to katan, considering the katan is never chayiv mis anyway. I saw another interesting explanation from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky that he says we're going to learn in a few blocks about Shev Mitzvah Bnei Noach. Now, by Shem Mitzvah Bnei Noach, you don't necessarily have the concept that you have by a Yid where they're only chayav when they turn 12 or 13, respectively. The whole concept of 12 or 13, that's the age of majority, only applies as halacha Moshe Mishinai by Jews. Or we learn it from the stuffing of Shimon Levi, whatever. Not necessarily that it apply to Goyim. By Goyim, it may be as soon as a kid can be considered to be ben da'af, as soon as he's old enough to that you can reasonably assume that he knows what he's doing, then maybe he should be chayav. You would think then the same might apply to Jews as well. How can it be more lenient for Jews than it can for goyim? And therefore, we need to be told nevertheless. Okay. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says that. No, not Kanievsky, Kamenetsky. So Asher Yishkav Es Eishes Aviv, when the pasuk says that he has relations with his father's wife. Now, mashma bein eishes aviv she'ima bein eishes aviv shelo ima. That implies that she's his father's wife, regardless whether she's his mother or whether or not. And how about though? How would we know that Yechayev also for a mother who is not his father's wife, who they were never married, or maybe even they never could have married, as we discussed
because
yesterday? That we can't know from Eishes Aviv. We have to have a different language for that. Talmud Lomar Erev Aviv Gila. Therefore, the pasuk continues: the Erev of his father he uncovered. Now, again, unlike the Chachamim who understand that to mean between men, Rabbi Yehuda does not accept that. He says that he holds you don't have an extra iser for that. You have just the regular iser of Mishkav Zav. You don't have an extra grounds for chatas for that.
He holds. Get anywhere near these iser, and there's something definitely wrong.
Well, this is all true, but okay. The question is how many chatoyot you're going to have to bring. But okay, whatever. Anyway. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda holds, and this Braisa is going according to Rabbi Yehuda, therefore Mufne, therefore those words, Erevas Aviv Gila, are available in the Pasuk, Lahakish Velodin Menu Gzeira Shava, to make a comparison and to use it for Gzeira Shava, which we will learn soon what the other end of the Gzeira Shava is. And when the pasuk continues, moithu mosu, they shall be put to death, means the skila. And you're going to argue out to him with the skila. How do you know that means skila? As we learned yesterday, moithu mosu conceivably could mean chenek. No, nema kan dmeyem bom, but over here it continues not just moithu mosu, but it continues dmeyem bom. But neva over yidoni dmeyem bom. By over yidoni it also says the word dmeyem bom, and there it spells out skila, malahal and the skila, just like over there it's skila, because the pasuk spells out for even yugamoisam, afkan the skila, therefore over here, Eishes Aviv must also be, and imoi, both of them must be skila.
Now, why does it say Mufne Lahakish?
Lahakish means to compare, because that's the Gzera Shava is basically a way of comparing two different dinim and learning.
It's not a
Hakish. No, it's a common expression that you find in some places in Chatz. Lahakish for looking at Gzera Shava.
Is from Erva.
Why Erva? Because you don't have the two things put together.
Hakish
is
only
one next to the other, in adjacent psukim, or the same part or whatever.
And you don't need the same word, right? Okay. So Mufna in this sense means
that it's available. It means you don't need the words Erevas Aviv Gila in order for the sense of the pasuk. The pasuk would have made perfect sense without it. So therefore, it's available for one end of the Gzeira Shava, and the other end of the Gzeira Shava we're going to continue to. The Chachamim don't hold of that Gzeira Shava, right? The Chachamim have learn these in a different way. Yeah.
Now, when the word is open for a Mufna, does that mean that
it means
there
not,
is no other drusha on the word, or there
that's
is no other meaning.
No, that's what it means. There's no other drusha on the word. Yeah.
But the word still is needed.
No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. That's
meaning of the process.
No, it's not. That's the point. It's both. It's both.
And
there's no other drusha that we have. We don't.
So in other words, the pasuk could have gone okay without that word.
Yes.
And that's with every mufne.
That's what it means, Mufna. Yeah, it means that it's available, means that it's not need, means the pasuk could have been read perfectly well without the words, with those words, and we don't have any
superfluous. They're superfluous. Now, when we say Mufna here, we mean Mufna on both sides.
Yeah, well, right now we only have the one end. We're going to get to the other end, too. Right now we only talked about one end of the Gzeira Shava, the one in Parshas Kedoshim. Soon we're going to talk about the other end of the Gzeira Shava in Parshas Akron. Wait. Okay. Oinash Shomainu, fine. So now we see from that the Torah gives us a punishment for somebody who does such a thing, that there was mezaneh with his mother or his father's wife. Yeah, as Hora Minayin, but we have a general rule whenever there's a punishment, the Torah always has to have an Isser someplace to do that. You can't punish somebody unless the Torah has said someplace else, don't do such and such.
Oinash Shomainu, then.
Yeah. So therefore, Talmud Lomar.
No.
Yeah. Talmud Lomar, therefore, the pasuk says in Parshas Achrim, Erevas Avichal Lo Tegale, when it says the erva of your father you should not uncover, he says, Rabbi Yehuda, Erevas Avichal Du Eishes Avichal. This means your father's wife. It doesn't mean your father himself, it means your father's wife. You're telling me it means your father's wife, maybe it means your father himself, like the Chachamim say, as we're going to learn soon. No. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, here's where we have the other end of the Gzeira Shava. Nerma kan Erevas Avichal Lo Tegale, v'nerma lahalan Erevas Aviv Gila. So before we said Erevas Aviv Gila in Parshas Kedoshim is Mufne at that end. Erevas Avichal Lo Tegale in Parshas Achrim is also Mufne. It doesn't have to say Erevas Avichal, it could have just said Erevas Imchal Lo Tegale, or Erevas Eishes Avichal Lo Tegale, whatever. Therefore, Malahalan be'ishas hakasav adaber. Therefore, just as in Parashas Yoshim, it's talking about Eishas Aviv, because the pasuk explicitly says there, after Yishkav is Eishas Aviv, the pasuk explicitly says there, Eishas Aviv. Afkan be'ishas hakasav adaber. Here also, the pasuk must be talking about a marital relation, meaning we're not talking about your father himself, Mishkav Zachar with him, we're talking about his wife, with him, as opposed to the Chacham. Now again, that would imply that we're talking whether your father's wife, who is also your mother, the same, and or the same thing would apply if she's your father's wife and not your mother, your stepmother. What about imo she'ena eshes aviv minayin? How do we know? Yeah, imo she'ena eshes aviv minayin. How do we know the same thing would apply to a mother who is not your father's wife, who they were never married? Therefore, the pasuk says, also in Achrimos, the erva of your mother, you should not uncover. It says in the same pasuk, the erva avicha, the erva imcha lo tigale. So erva avicha, he says, means your father's wife. Erva imcha means
your
mother. Who's not, whether she is your mother or not. Erva imcha means
when she's not your mother.
Yeah, it could be both. Erva imcha means your mother.
Why is there redundancy then?
Because one could be, you have to have both cases. One where she's ever, one where she's Eishas Avicha and your mother. The other where she's only your mother and not Eishas Avicha.
Okay.
Now, if she's only your mother and not Eishas Avicha, that is in the case where the person is the mom, sir.
It could be where they, it could be, for example, as we learned yesterday, it could be, no. So the obvious case would be if one of them was Chayv Krisis to the other. They were brother and sister, let's say, for example, where Kedushin are not Tosfos. So Chayv is a faith. We talked yesterday that indeed, according to one version of what Rabbi Yehuda says, we said he would hold like Rabbi Akiva that the same thing applies to Chayv Lavin. If one of them was a mamzer and the other was not, one of them was a Kohen Gadol and the other one was an Almana, whatever. And you could also have, your foot would also have the case where neither of them, where they're perfectly mutter to marry, but they didn't for whatever reason. They just didn't know. Whatever. All those cases. So
then you don't call him your father?
No, he is your father. He's your father. And she's your mother, but they were never married. So that's Imo Shayna Eshes Aviv Minayin. How do we know the same rule would apply to a mother who's not Eshes Aviv? Tamad Lima, Erasim Chalei Segala. So therefore, the pasuk says, the error of your mother, don't uncover. Ainli Elabaz Hora. Now you would only know that this is true when it comes to the warning, when it comes to the Isur Lav, where the Torah is comparing and making that your mother who is not Ashes Aviv is in exactly the same situation as Imo who is Ashes Aviv, because the Torah puts them as far as Azhara, because the Pasuk puts them in the same Pasuk. Ervas Avicha, which according to Rabbi Yehuda means your father's wife, the Ervas Imcha means your actual mother, both of them Loisagale. How about Oynish Minayin? How do we know the same thing applies to the punishment that both of them are going to be equally chayev skila? This is like this. Nemakan ervas avicha lo segale. Here it says the erva of your father you should not uncover. V'nemalahalan ervas aviv gila. Further on in Parshas Kedoshim it says the erva of his father he uncovered and he gets skila for it. Therefore, we learn by the same Gzeder Shava as before, Mabaz Hora, just like when it comes to the warning, to the Isur Lav, the Eves Avicha, Mabaz Hora also akosiv imo she'ene eishes aviv, ki imo shihi eishes aviv, just like over there, the Pasuk equates a mother who is not your father's wife, and equates her exactly with the mother who is your father's wife, because again, we said they're in the same Pasuk, Eves Avicha, the Eves Imcha lo tegale, and the same Isur applies to both of them. Afba Oynish, so also, when it comes to the punishment, also akosiv imo she'ene eishes aviv, ki imo shihi eishes aviv. The same way, when it comes to the punishment, also the Torah puts in the same category, a mother who is not eishes aviv is exactly like a mother who is eishes aviv. Both of them is going to be chayev skila. We know eishes aviv is chayev skila to mehem bam, and since when it comes to the azhara, mother and eishes aviv go together, so also by the oynish, mother and eishes aviv come together. They both get skila.
This is all according to Rabbi Yehuda.
They're going to learn. We're going to see. This is a sort of Shishabredir of Idi's thing. We're going to get to in a little bit. How the Chachamim know that you're chayev for a mother who's not your father's wife. They don't use the same limud as Rabbi Yehuda. They're going to learn it in a different way. Because remember, Rabbi Yehuda. So what do we have? Imchahi, and then when the pasuk finishes off, she is your mother. That is a mute, as we said before. Mishum ima, you have to mechayev. You can only be mechayev him if she's both your mother and eishes avicha. You can only be mechayev him on the grounds of ima. V'yata mechayev mishum eishes ad. You can't be mechayev mishum eishes ad. So he's using the word imahi for that. Imchahi for that. The chachamim restrictively. The chachamim are going to use imchahi for a different drasha. They're going to use that later on for the drasha to say how we know that you're chayev for a mother who's not your father's wife. So they don't have it available to teach us. They don't have the word imcha he available to teach us. You only chayav one on one ground. Therefore, taka they hold you chayav on two grounds, imcha and eshes avicha. Rabbi Yehuda, who learns that in a different way, because he uses his zera shava for that purpose, which is based on the idea that he says that erva savicha does not mean your father himself; it means your father's wife. Therefore, he has the word imcha he available for this drasha that it means only that it means that we're only getting you on imcha, not on eshes avicha, even though she's both. So this is all according to Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore we see that Rava's, therefore, so that Braita shows that Rava's explanation is correct, but that's how Rabbi Yehuda dashes it. So that answers the question. Okay. So now the question is, Rabbanon, what are the Rabbanon answer to all that? They say, Eva Savicha Mamish. They say, Eva Savicha means exactly what it sounds like. A man commits Mishkav Zachor with his father, then he's Chayiv on that. I said, what do you mean? Hai Vest Zachor. You have a Pasuk, Vest Zachor is Tishkav, which is Mishkav Zachor, as we learn. Yeah. The answer is v'chayav al shtayim. In that case, according to the Chachamim, what it means is a man does mishkav zachor with his father, he's going to be chayav on two counts.
On his father and mishkav zachor.
Mishkav zachor and erva savicha. He's going to be chayav two chatarais. Yeah. V'chid Rabbi Yehuda, which in that case, that would be like what Rabbi Yehuda says, the Amr Rabbi Yehuda, nochri habal of it, that Rabbi Yehuda says if a goy has relations with his father, chayav shtayim, then he's chayav on two counts. Similarly, Habal Achiyoviv, similarly, if he has relations with his father's brother, with his uncle, a guy. Well, we'll say in a second what that means, but wait. A father's brother also, the Pasuk says a similar thing. The Pasuk says, Ervas Achiyovicha Leitigale, El Ishtar Leitikr of the Dasvahi. So again, you could understand it that it means that your aunt, your uncle's wife is equivalent to your uncle's Erva, and therefore to be Mizana with her is tantamount to be Mizana with him, so it's not a separate Issur on him. The Chachamim don't hold that way. The Chachamim hold, as Rabbi Yehuda is saying, that Rav Yehuda, the Amor, that it means exactly what it sounds like. Eros Achiyah Bechalei Tegale, do not do Mishkav Zachor with your uncle. So therefore, if a goy were to do that with his uncle, also Chayv Shtayim. Now, Omar Rava, so Rava says, Misabra Milsa, Rabbi Yehuda, the Yisrael B'Shoigig of a Karban. It's logical to understand that what Rabbi Yehuda means by that, he's not talking about a goy at all. He really means if a yid did such a thing, B'Shoigig, and we're talking about how many karbanas he would have to bring. Behind the common nachri, because so why does he use the expression goy? Lishnam al Yehud, he's using a nicer expression. He doesn't want to say that a yid would do such an outrageously terrible thing. Because after all, you have to say he means a yid, really, because if you're talking about a goy, dinay maimiu, after all, what is the din? How is a goy punished for being over on any of the shevnas of Neneach? Ptola. They get executed, as we're going to learn, and they're about the shevnas of Neneach in a few blocks.
You mean between themselves or by us?
No, they have the mitzvah of dinim. One of the shevnas of Neneach is dinim, that they're required to try and punish criminals. And as we're going to learn later on the parak, when we learn about shevnas of Neneach, if they're over on any of their shevnas mitzvahs, they're chayev sayev, they're chayev hereg, they get beheaded.
Jewish law by
that. By according to halacha of shevnas mitzvahs of Neneach, yeah. When Yodam Tekifa, when Yadenu Tekifa, when Jews are in power, we're required to enforce shevnas mitzvahs of Neneach. So then, you have to ask to betray Katolik Taplos Lay. You can't kill the guy twice, so what would be the sense of talking about whether he's Chayiv on one ground or two? Exactly. So therefore, obviously, what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, when he says Chayiv Shtayim, he must actually be talking about a Yid, and the question is how many Chatoris he would have to rebring. If a guy does this, it doesn't matter whether it's one count or two or five or whatever. You can only kill him once. Indeed, we learn like that in a Braisa, Habal Oviv Chayiv Shtayim. Somebody has relations with his father, he's Chayiv on two counts. And here we're talking about a yid. Similarly, if he has relations with his uncle, with his father's brother, he's also chayev too. Ikadamri, what some say that this braisa is the loyker of Yehuda. Some say that this braisa would not be like Rabbi Yehuda the Tana. Because the same way, because Rabbi Yehuda the Tana holds that erva savicha means your father's wife, it doesn't mean your father at all. So therefore, according to that way of looking at it, he can't possibly say that he can't possibly. No, a yid. No. He was talking about a yid, remember.
Right.
We only said a goy as a euphemism.
Right, that's true.
But according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana that we were saying before, he holds that erva savicha means your father's wife.
Right.
Well, that would mean then erva savicha can't mean your father himself, can't mean mishkav zachor with one's father.
Right.
Therefore, according to that way of looking at it, this braisa wouldn't be like Rabbi Yehuda. The ikad amri afilu tamer Rabbi Yehuda. Others say though that you could even say maybe this braisa would go according to Rabbi Yehuda. Or ma'isil of a kavachayim me'achi aviv. Namely, Rabbi Yehuda would hold that this concept you can learn from a kavachomer from Achi Aviv. Namely, by Achi Aviv, even Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree. When the pasuk says, Ervas Achi Avicha loisigale el ishta loisikrav, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, there's no question that that means a separate issur for the uncle. Because otherwise, there's no reason to say it. Just say, el ishas Achi Avicha loisikrav, or whatever. So there, obviously, it means him himself, that if a guy does Mishkav Zohar with his uncle, then he's chayev on that grounds of Achi Aviv, as well as the regular Ves Zohar. Therefore, you can make a kavah chaimer
because it cannot mean anything.
Because it can't mean anything. Because Uma achi aviv dekurva de'avin hu chayv shtayim. Madach, your uncle, who's only also to you because of his relation to you through your father, because he's your father's brother, and chayv shtayim. Nevertheless, the pasuk is telling us that you're chayv on two counts. Aviv like kol shekein. How much more so would have to be the case with your father? So we have two different ways of looking at it. Does Rabbi Yehuda, would Rabbi Yehuda the Tana hold of that, or would he not? The two ways of looking at that last braisa depend on a machlokes of Abaye and Rava. Namely, Marsava Oinshin Min Adin or Marsava Ein Oinshin Min Adin. We have a machlokes of Abaye and Rava in a number of places in Shas. Whether you ate, we talk all the time, we usually say the expression, as we learned yesterday, Ein Oinshin Min Adin. You can't punish somebody on the basis of a kavah chaimer. There has to be some other limud to say that something is also to be mechayev a person. But we have a machloikas Abaye and Rava in a number of places in Shas, where we're going to have it later on in our Masechta, actually, whether in fact Oinshin Min Adin, whether it is possible to say that a person is punishable for something on the basis of a kavah chaimer. That's what we talked about the other day. We talked about the question on what grounds do we have to say that a person is mezana with his daughter that they get straight. On the face of it, the Torah never says in so many words, don't be mezana with your daughter, Ervas Bitcho Lo Tegale, and nevertheless it is. So Abaye and Rava argue later on in the Sechta. Abaye says, we learn it by Kavach Chaimer. The Pasuk says that if you're Mezana with your granddaughter, you're Chayef Sefer. How much more so? How much more so your daughter? Whereas Rava says, Ein Oinshin Min Adin. You can't punish somebody on the basis of a Kavach Chaimer. And therefore, he uses the limud that we talked briefly about the other day. Heina, heina, zima, zima. That he learns using a double Kavach Chaimer, using a double Zera Shava. A double Zera Shava that we talked about it briefly before. We'll talk about it later on in the ninth parak. That's Rava. So therefore, when we look at our braita about Habal Aviv Chayef Shtayim,
it's not one of the Al-Kagam.
No,
it's Eidim Zomim, not Oinshin Min Adin.
Yeah. So Abaye holds Oinshin Min Adin. Therefore, he can say in this braita, in this last braita that we quoted, that even Rabbi Yehuda could agree with that concept. That once the pasuk spells out for us that Mishkav Zohar with an uncle, you're Chayef twice, then automatically, then by a Kavach Chaimer, the same thing would apply to your father. Whereas Rava, who does not believe in that, Ein Oinshin Min Adin, he would of necessity have to say that this braisa does not go according to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, fine. But Rabbanan Azhara La'eshes Aviv Min Olahu. Fine. Where did the Rabbanan learn that you're not allowed to be mezana with your father's wife? Given that they are holding that the word Ervas Avicha means your father himself, Mishkav Zaka with your father, then where do they get your father's wife? The answer is Nafka Vahum Ervas Eshes Avicha Loisigale. Okay, we have the second pasuk there in Parshas Achronos. Ervas Eshes Avicha Loisigale. It spelled it out. There, Rabbi Yehuda. What would Rabbi Yehuda answer to that?
The Torah was written so that both.
Yeah.
Rabbi Yehuda.
Well, let's put it this way.
Their own opinion.
Well, that, but also the other way of looking at it is neither Rabbi Yehuda nor the Chachamim can argue with Pesukim. If one of them has a pasuk that proves their point and the other one can't shtelein that pasuk somehow, then that's it. We shlug them up. Yeah. Which, by the way, is a very rare thing to do. Usually, we can slug up. Usually, we might slug up we don't usually slug up Tanoim at all. Actually, I mean, usually we pass in halacha like one or the other of them. On Berdoyim, we regularly slug them up by showing they contradict Tanoim. If we can do that, it's very rare that we show that a Tana or an Amora is contradicting a Pasuk. So, okay.
Does it exist?
It does exist, but it's very rare. I can't think of examples offhand, but I'm pretty sure there are. Okay. So. What would Rabbi Yehuda answer to that? He says, He says, fine, but that pasuk is needed to tell us, even after your father dies, she's still offered to you. You shouldn't think. Once he dies, then the issue goes away. What are the Rabbanan answer to that? They say, Ahum is safer to Kron after they have the end of the pasuk for that. Erva Savicha. They use that to teach us that as long as at one time she was your father's erva, then she remains your father's erva. She remains she remains your father's wife forever. Clear, Rabbi Yehuda. How can we buy them? Shema Eishes Av, Atam Chayev, Biyatam Chayev, Shema Eishes Ish. Rabbi Yehuda learned that to say that you're only chayev on the grounds of Eishes Av, not on the grounds of Eishes Ish, as we said before, as Rashi had mentioned before. Where's the Chacham? Don't have to agree to that. So the question is, V'ha'anam Tanan Habah.
Habal Eshes Av, we learned in the Mishnah, though, that Rabbi Yehuda does not seem to disagree with that. The Mishnah says, a man is mizana with his father's wife, chayev alayim mishum Eshes Av and mishum Eshes Ish, she's chayev on the grounds that she's Eshes Aviv, and if she's still married on the grounds of Eshes Ish, bein b'chayev Aviv, bein l'acham Mishes Aviv, whether his father was alive, whether his father was dead, v'loy polig Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda is not arguing on that. Evidently, Rabbi Yehuda would agree that if it's Eshes Aviv and she still is married, whether to your father or somebody else, you would be chayev on two grounds. And yet, based on this brayta, you're telling me that Rabbi Yehuda says that he's learning from Eretz Avichai, you're only chayev for one.
So
we have a steer. The answer is Omar Abai, holding with brayta. Very well. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't argue in the Mishnah. He argues in the brayta. The Mishnah just left it a stam Mishnah that the Tanakhama says, and it didn't mention Rabbi Yehuda's dissenting opinion, that you'd be chayev on both. In the brayta, we find out that Rabbi Yehuda argues in that place as well. What about now, according to the Rabbanon, where do we learn that Eishas Aviv applies even after the father died? I can understand Rabbi Yehuda has his Gzeira Shava Eretz Aviv Gila that we said before. The Chachamim who don't hold of that Gzeira Shava because they're using one end of it to teach us that, they're using one end of us to teach us a separate Chiyuv for a separate chiyuv for Mishkav Zachar with the father, and the other one to teach us about Eishes Aviv Lachamis. So the Chachamim had said that we learn Eishes Aviv Lachamis because there's Erbas Avichai. The question is, that the Azhara, what about the Oynish? Where do they know that the same Oynish applies, that the same punishment applies, La'acham Mitzvah, given that they don't have the Gzeira Shavah, because they've used both ends of it for other limudim? The answer is, it's a Bishlam, Rabbi Yehuda, Maisel of Gzeira Shavah. I can understand Rabbi Yehuda learns it with his Gzeira Shavah. El Rabbanon Manolahu, where did Rabbanon getting it from?
They used it for what?
They used one end of it to teach us that a person is chayev, an extra chatas for Mishkav Zachar with his father. They used the other end of it to teach us that there's an Azhara, that the Torah warns us not to be mezana with his father's wife even after the father is dead. Fine, but that's all the Oynish. That's all the Azhara. What about the Oynish? How do they know that the same Oynish applies, that the same Stila applies to Eishes Aviv, whether the father was alive and whether not, and to Aim, whether she was ever the wife or not? The answer is Amri Loch. They can answer, Ahu Erves Aviv Gila, Demapik, Lor Rabbi Yehuda, Gzeira Shava. The answer is, the words Erves Aviv Gila, which Rabbi Yehuda is using for his Gzeira Shava, Matgile Inu Lo Oynish to Eishes Aviv Lachamisa. They use it, they, the Chachamim, will use it to teach us for the Oynish, for the punishment, for Skila, for Eishes Aviv Lachamisa. So therefore, they'll learn it from that. The Rabbi Yehuda used it for one end of the one in Parshas Kedoshim, for one end of the Zera Shava. The Chachamim already used the other end of that Zera Shava for something else, the one in Akramos. Therefore, they have the one available in Kedoshim to teach us that Eishes Aviv Lachamisa, that's where Kedoshim, where it's a Skila, that it applies also to that case, with Chayav Lachamisa. What about where the Rabbanon learning the punishment, the skila, for Imai who is not Eishes Aviv? Again, Rabbi Yehuda learned it from the fact that it says Ervas Avicha ve'Ervas Imcha, and it makes a comparison between the two, and therefore just as Ervas Avicha, your father's wife, so also Ervas Imcha. The Rabbanon who don't hold of that, because they hold Ervas Avicha means something else, where do they learn it from? Omar of Shisha, Breder of Idi. So here's where we get to the Shisha, Breder of Idi's Limud that we were talking about before. Omakra, Imchahi, the pasuk says she is your mother. Now, Rabbi Yehuda used the word Imchahi to learn that if she's your mother and your father's wife, you're only Chayiv Mishum A. The Chachamim who don't agree with that, they say you're Chayiv on both counts, they are using the word Imchahi. The pasuk equates a mother who is not Eishes Aviv ki imay she Eishes Aviv, and makes her exactly equal to a mother who is Eishes Aviv. So imay she Eishes Aviv, we know it's chayev skila, because the pasuk says isha she yishkav as Eishes Aviv, then they get the dmehem bam, they get skila. Therefore, by saying imchahi, the pasuk is saying the same thing applies to your mother, even if she's not Eishes Aviv.
What is it, Hekesh?
It's from the words imchahi. The words imchahi themselves teach us as long as she's your mother, regardless whether she's Eishes Aviv or not, then yeah. So that's that then. So now we've covered all our bases, and now we've established then how Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim learn the respective scripture. Then the Mishnah said, the halacha is a Chachamim. Habar kalosei chulu. Then we said in the Mishnah, if somebody is mezana with his daughter-in-law, so we said that he's chayev on the ground that she is his daughter-in-law and that she's an Eishes Ish. And as we said yesterday, the Ran says that one meaning of Eishes Ish is even if the son died and she married somebody else, you would think she's not considered Kalvasa anymore. Nevertheless, she is. So the question is, V'l'chayev nami v'shem Eishes B'noi, L'chore, you should be chayev on another ground as well. You should be chayev on the ground that she's your son's wife, namely because the Pasuk says like this, Ervas Kalos Chalois Gale, don't uncover the erva of your daughter-in-law. Eishes bin Chahi, she is the wife of your son. Lois Gale Ervasa, don't uncover her erva. It sounds like the Pasuk is telling us two different Isurim. In other words, that a man would be Mazana with his daughter, and one he's chayev on two Isurim, even if she's not married at the time. One that she's his daughter-in-law, the other that she was his son's wife. Is or was his son's wife. No, the Pasuk starts off by using the word kalosai and finishes off with the word eishes b'noi. Loi malach to teach you, zui kalosai, zui eishes b'noi. They're the same thing. It's not two different historim. The Pasuk wants to tell us that it's using two different terms, it is true, but because the kalosai and eishes b'noi, it's one isur. So therefore, in other words, the person were to do it with shogig, he'd only be chayev one chatos, not two.
If he uses two lashonis,
but that
means it's one isur.
Because since the pasuk continues, Eishes Bincha Ki, the implication is she, the Eishes Bincha, is the same as Kalosa that was mentioned at the beginning of the pasuk. So it's only one, not two. The Ramban understands this Gemara a little bit differently, that the Gemara is telling us the pasuk needs to inform us that Kalosa means your daughter-in-law, which we know that actually from earlier in the Torah, for example. You have Yehuda by Tamar, Zonsa Tamar Kalasacha. She's called his Kala, she's called his daughter-in-law, even though she's not married to any of his sons at that time, because she was married to some of his sons. So the Ran quotes this Ramban and explains the point of it is that we shouldn't think that maybe Kalosai means that maybe Kala means she's just newly married, like a Chosin and Kala. No, Kalosai means she was at one point your son's wife. That's the definition of Kalosai.
And she can be anything else. Now
she can be anything else, but she's always still considered Kalosai. And therefore, that you get her, you get the guy on that, you get him and her on that. And if, of course, if she's an Eishes Ish, then you get him on that as well. Okay. Mishnah continues. Habala Kurva Ala Behema. Then we had among the other cases in the previous Mishnah, the ones who are Chayav Skila, we said are Mishkav Zachar, and somebody has relations with an animal. The Isha Mavia Sabahema, and a woman who also commits bestiality with an animal as a passive partner.
Why do we need both?
Well, one is active, one is passive. The behema.
So what?
They're two different isurim. The Torah actually mentions them differently. They're considered they're two different mitzvahs among the 613.
If married, I'm sure a woman should be.
You would think maybe not. You could have argued that maybe not. Man is the active partner, the woman is the passive one. Whatever. The fact is, they're two different isurim, and they're two different.
So then you just need a woman, you could infer the man.
Not necessarily. You know, in Shimon Adin, remember? Ain't no Shimon Adin, right?
The truth is,
Tosfos explains. Tosfos points out that actually, with a man also, he can conceivably be active, the active partner with an animal, or the passive partner. The Mishnah doesn't bother mentioning it because we only learn it from a drasha. The pasuk spells out a zohar being the active partner with a behemah, or a woman being the passive partner with a behemah. We learn from a drasha that, as we'll learn in the Gemara, the same thing applies to a man being the passive partner with a behemah. Okay. Anyway. So all of them are b'skila. So the question is, onam chata behema machata. Fine. Why does the animal get skila? But the person did an aveda. What did the animal do wrong? The reason is el lafishabal olam adam takala al yada. The reason is because a person committed an aveda through it. Lafichach amar akasu tisako. Therefore, the pasuk says that it should be destroyed. Dover acher, another explanation. Shaloi tehe behema everes bashuk. The reason is because you don't want this animal to be walking around in the market. The young run, people are going to say, Zui shiniska plani al yoda. This is the animal that Pliny was killed because of having relations with it. So therefore, these two things, by the way, are called takola and koloi. Later on, the Gemara is going to discuss. No, koloi is an embarrassment.
Okay.
Yeah. So later on Nunhei, the Gemara is going to discuss the question, which of those two is the more important reason, takala or kala? And we're going to find cases where you have one without the other. And the question is, does the animal get skila in that case?
Not that
you, he's nishtova. That's the one that he had relations with. It's okay, yeah. The problem probably that I got. Yeah, no. All right. So the question is, Zohar Menolon, where do we know the genuine of Mishkav Zohar? Like this, the Tanan Abonon, the Pasuk says, Ish Asher, the Pasuk says, in Parashat Kedoshim, by the punishment, Ish Asher Yishkev as Zohar Mishkev Eisha, Tayeva Asher Shneihem, Mosu Mosu Dmehem Zohar. So ish prapa cotton. Again, the word ish means as opposed to a cotton, as we discussed before. And when it says asher yishkav es zachar ben gadol ben cotton, now it doesn't say asher yishkav es ish. So therefore, that implies ben gadol ben cotton. It implies that the passive partner doesn't matter whether it's a gadol or a cotton. That if, in other words, if the active partner was a gadol and the passive one was a cotton, then no, the cotton doesn't get punished. No, the cotton below bar mitzvah never gets punished. The point is, if the cotton was above 9 years old, then the gadol is going to get punished on the basis of that he did mishkav zachar with a cotton between 9 and 13 years old. That's the point. In other words, we don't say that for a chiyuv misa, the passive partner also has to be a gadol. No, the passive partner can be a cotton as long as they're above 9, because less than that is not considered bia. And then the gadol is punished.
That's not deraisa.
No, this is deraisa. No, the 9 is deraisa.
9 is
deraisa.
Where do
we see that? And we learned that in Yevamos that the cotton. I don't remember exact limud that we learned it from, but I don't remember what the exact limud was. But whatever, that 9 years old and older is capable of doing bia. Is capable of doing bia.
From
9 years old for a boy and also from 3 for a girl, her bia is considered bia. By the way, the Rambam writes, even though, as we see from our Gemara, technically there's no chiyuv misa if the passive partner was below 9, nevertheless, Beis Din should give the gadol who did such a thing makas mazus. Okay. The pasuk continues, mishkevei yishah. The pasuk says, asher yishkev asachah mishkevei, the lyings, plural, of a woman. That pasuk comes to teach you that there's two different things, two different acts that can be considered lying with having relations with a woman. Kedarka and Shaloi Kedarka.
That's the way it says
Mishkevei. Amar Rabbi Shmuel, Hareza Bola Lamed, B'nim Salamed. Here you have an example of something where the Pasuk is coming to teach us that a Zohar Yechayev Shaloi Kedarka, and you end up learning from it that the same thing applies, that the same thing Shaloi Kedarka would apply equally well by a woman. And the reason why we know that, by a Zohar, it can only be Shaloi Kedarka. There is no Kedarka. There is no vaginal way of doing it. So therefore, it must mean the other, and by Zohar. And therefore, from that, since it says Mishkevei Isha, then we learn from that the same thing applies to a woman, that both ways are equally considered bia in halacha. Okay. Then the pasuk continues, Moisyu Masu B'Skila. Again, it says Moisyu Masu means to get skila. And as we had before, after Omer B'Skila, Ayin El Abachas, Mechol Misa Samus Vatara. Maybe, how do you know it means skila? Maybe it means some other Misa. Same limud as before, Nemakan's man bum, and never be done man bum, the same Zeta Shava as before, Malahal and Beskila, Afkan Beskila. Again, we see the Torah warns of the punishment for Mishkav Zachor, that's Skila. Azhara Minayin, where do we have the Torah telling us not to do it? Tamad Lama Ve'ef Zachor Lo Sishkav Mishkav Eisha Te'evi. Therefore, earlier in Parshas Achrimos, in general, most of the Arayas, you have the warnings for them are in Achrimos, and the punishments for them are in Kedoshim. On Yom Kippur afternoon, we read the first one, the one with the warnings, and the one, and of course, in Parshas Achrimos, and then in Kedoshim, we read about the punishment. So, the Parshas says, Ve'ef Zachor Lo Sishkav Mishkav Eisha Te'evi. Don't lie with a Zachor as you do with a woman, Te'evi. Therefore, so that's that.
You're feeling so spiritual, and you read this stuff.
Well, that's actually why. One of the things it's brought in the Svarim on this, I guess, in the Noisa Kalim on Shulchan Aruch or whatever, is that first of all, if a person has committed such averus, they should realize it and take stock and do tshuva before it's too late, before Yom Kippur is over. But it is also the idea, that even though we're so Jehovah on Yom Kippur, we have to know a person for Tazi Yetzahara, a person could descend to such depths if they don't watch out. Yeah.
I like that shot. Oh, my gosh, it's Yom Kippur. I forgot I did all this.
Yeah, okay. No. Come on. Okay. No. Come on. Okay. The question is, Lamadnu Azhara L'Shoyfei. Fine. From the word that Zachar L'Sishkav Mishkav Eisha teaches us that you shouldn't be the active partner in Mishkav Zachar. Azhara L'Nishkav Minayin. Where do we see that the Torah warns that you shouldn't be the passive partner either?
Shoyfei
is active, on the faces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Therefore, the pasuk says there should not be a kodesh among the Jewish people. And and the pasuk also says later on in Malachim, v'gam kodesh hayavaret, during the period of one of the earlier kings of Yehuda, Rechavam, I think it was, v'gam kodesh hayavaret, there was also kodesh in the land. And the pasuk continues, also kocholat ha'evet ha'goyim, ha'shahodesh ha'goyim, they did according to all the same kind of disgusting things that the Knanim, who the Evishter kicked out of Eretz Yisrael, did. The point is, Rashi says, that Kodesh involves Te'eva, so therefore Kodesh has to mean the same Te'eva that we said before, like Tishkav Mishkav Eisha, and Kodesh implies somebody who is designated for Mishkav Zachar, namely the passive partner. Because that's what it means Lo yikodesh mibnei Yisrael means there's not allowed to be a kodesh among the Jewish people, meaning somebody who is designated for. So it means something having to do with Mishkav Zachar. What is the meaning of kodesh? So we say v'gam kodesh hayavaret, and it was te'eva. So therefore, we see that kodesh means Mishkav Zachar. So therefore, when it says lo yikodesh mibnei Yisrael, it means that there should not be somebody designated for Mishkav Zachar, namely as a passive
they
partner.
They had that
yes, they had that. Yes, they had that.
Yeah, they certainly
they
did.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they
didn't do it. I'm saying they had.
That's what it's called, yeah. So, and the pasuk continues, Lo Yisrael Kadesha, Yisrael also. Kadesha is obviously the passive partner. So a Kadesh, therefore, was also the passive partner.
Even now in Afghanistan, the U.S. Army is confronted with a terrible...
Divir Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says this is how we learn that the Nishkav. Rabbi Shmuel says this is how we learn an Azhara for the passive partner as well. Rabbi Akiva says you don't need that limud. You don't need the limud roundabout like that by way of Loya Kodesh. After all, the pasuk says straight out Azhara Loisishkav Mishkabeisha, and the word Loisishkav Koribei Loisishochen. Besides reading it as tishkav, meaning don't be the active partner, it can also be read as if it was tishachev, do not be lain with as Mishkav Zachar, meaning to be the passive partner.
That's Tom. Tishkav,
no.
It should say.
No, tishkav or tishachev. It's the same letter. It's different nekudas. Now, mind you, we learned back near the beginning of the Masechta, we said Rabbi Akiva is one of the Tanoim who holds Yeshem Mikra, that you have to go according to the way the pasuk is pronounced, so what do we do with that? So the Yad Ramah explains that really what Rabbi Akiva is saying, it's not a matter of that you can repunctuate the word Tishkav to mean Tishachay. Really, the word Tishkav itself can mean both active and passive. And he proves it, for example, from Bnei Floyd. Bnei Floyd, the elder one, says to the younger one, Hein Shachavti Enesh Esavi. Shochavti, she was the passive partner. Loit was the active partner, because that's how it is with a man and woman. So therefore, the word shochav itself means to be both active, means either active or passive. So that's Rabbi Akiva. He doesn't have to repunctuate the word. The word, the shochav itself means either active or passive.
Over there, shochavti is passive.
It has to be passive by definition, yeah. So that covers Zachar. So that's how we know that Zachar, the same rules apply to both the Shochav and the Nishkav. Okay. Behema Manolan, what about how do we know the same rules apply by Behema? Netanarabonan. Again, the Pasuk starts off Ish, a man. Again, praklakotan means as opposed to a cotton. Ashayitin Shchovte Behema, who lies or who has relations with an animal. Again, Ben Gdola Ben Kana. That's what we're going to get to. Wait, so far we're talking about active. So far, we're talking about active. Passive, we'll get to soon. Ashayit and shchavti bebehema means ben gdola ben ktana. Similar to what we said before, it means whether the behema is an adult behema or is a grown-up behema or not, then the same rules apply. And by the way, unlike with the passive partner being a person, where we said on Amud Aleph that the chiyuv misa is only if they're 9 or older, because below 9 is not considered bia, with an animal it's not like that. The din is an animal, even if it's a newborn animal, it wouldn't matter. Okay.
They have no dots.
It doesn't matter, yeah. That has something to do with it, I don't know, yeah. Okay. Mois yumas v'skila, again, when it says mois yumas means I get skila. Again, after I'm a v'skila in elabachas mechom misas amuris v'chorim, maybe it means some other kind of misa. No, nemakan taharoik. So here we're not going to learn it from dmehem bom, because the pasuk didn't say dmehem bom. We have to learn it in a different way. Nemakan taharoigu. Here it says, we can't learn skila from the word dmehem bom. It doesn't say dmehem bom over here. No. Here the pasuk says you should kill the person and the animal. Elsewhere by a mesis it says that you should kill him. Use of the shame shurish. Malahalan beskila, afkan beskila. Just like over there with skila, because the pasuk spells out over there that a mesis gets skila. Over
here.
Taharugu and horog taharugu, it's the same shurish. Again, we've said before, Xavier Shava doesn't always have to be the exact same words. It can be the same shurish. So malahalan beskila, afkan beskila. Just like a mesis gets skila, so also over here, taharugu must mean skila. Okay. Lamanu onish l'shechev. Fine. So that teaches us the punishment for somebody who is the active partner with an animal. Onish l'nishgav minolon. How do we know the same thing applies if a man is the passive partner with an animal?
We're going to say, just like Rabbi Akiva.
We're going to learn it slightly differently. Wait. Talmud loyma kol shechev v'behema moisyumas. But we have another pasuk in Parashas Mishpatim, which is there you don't have most of the arayas. Most of the arayas are an achra and kedoshim. But in Mishpatim, the Torah singles out, kol sheichem v'behema moisyumas, anybody who lies with an animal moisyumas, and in eina inim l'sheichem. Now, it's not necessary for that pasuk to be used for the sheichem, because we already have the pasuk in achra mois for that. So that's an achra mois, and in kedoshim, actually, we haven't yet dealt with achra mois, we haven't yet dealt with the azara. Here we're talking about the oinosh. So fine, in Parshas Kedoshim, it says, isha sheyitin shchobti v'behema moisyumas, v'esa v'behema taregu. You also have in Parshas Mishpatim, kol sheichem v'behema moisyumas. So that pasuk is unnecessary, is redundant. So what do we learn from that? In l'sheichem, since you don't need it to teach us the sheichem, because you already know that from Kedoshim, that he and the animal got skila, t'neu inyum l'nishkav, you have to instead refer it to the nishkav.
But what would Rabbi Akiva say about
Rabbi Akiva, we'll get to soon. Rabbi Akiva, we'll get to soon. Rabbi Akiva will agree to that. Rabbi Akiva will agree to that also. As far as the Oynish, Rabbi Akiva was arguing before about the Azhara. He also is going to...
Generically.
No.
Shechet can mean passive or active.
Well, that's what we're going to get to. Wait. Okay. Where are we? Azhara minai, and where do we know the warning from that you're not allowed to do it? Talmud Lama, the pasuk says in Achrimos, Ovachol behema leisit in shkav tichol atavala. That's it. With any animal, you shouldn't put your lying, meaning don't be the active partner. Azhara l'shoichev, the nishkav minai, and how do we know the same thing applies to the nishkav? Talmud Lama, lo yekodesh v'bnei Yisrael, v'goyma v'gam kodesh ha'yibaretz, v'goyma divi Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel uses the same limud as before, that the word kodesh means the passive male partner, and therefore it applies, since with the behemoth is also called te'eva, then therefore the same thing applies. If it says, v'gam kodesh ha'yibaretz, osko chola te'eva, it means the kodesh can be either who's the passive partner for another male, or a passive partner for a behemoth. Rabbi Akiva imein et sarach. Again, Rabbi Akiva says, I don't need that limud. Harehu imel loisitin shchavtcha, which means loisitin shchivascha. Again, the pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, the one in Achrim, loisitin shchavtcha, that can mean both active and passive. It means loisitin shchavtcha is also loisitin shchivascha. Also, don't put your lying, meaning don't lie with it as a passive partner. Either it can be read both ways, or like the Yad Ramah says, that the word shachav itself implies active and passive.
Fine, but
it amounts to the same thing. Yeah. Okay, fine. Now the question becomes as follows: Habala's chur behavior of zacher. What if somebody did nishkav zacher as an active partner and as a passive partner? And let's say Rashi says it was behelam echad. It was all in one period of not knowing that this is also. How many chatois is he going to have to bring? So the question
would be add up what we said previously.
That's what we have to figure. Amar Rav Abba, the Divrei Rabbi Shmuel Chayef Shtayim, according to Rabbi Shmuel, since he learns the active and the passive one from two different psukim, therefore you'd be chayef two chatois. Chodem Eloi Tishkav, Chodem Eloi Yekodesh. The active for the active you chayef on the grounds of Eloi Tishkav. The passive you chayef on the grounds of Eloi Yekodesh. By the way, some of the Rishonim talk about over here. We may be talking specifically where it all involved the same person. If it involved two different people, there might not be a question that you chayef to, because it's called Gufim Mechlokim. The different Gufim, the fact that you had two different people involved, might make it two different Chatoris, even according to
that
activity.
That also applied to a male, not a female?
Two females, there's no chiyuv chatas, let alone this is based in, because there's no real bia. There's no actual penetration.
However, it is it's called Maisa Eretz Mitzrayim. It's the kind of corrupt things that they did in Mitzrayim and Eretz Canaan. The Rashi brings over there from the Medrash that in those places men would marry men, women would marry women. You can read the headlines nowadays and find the same kind of thing. Society hasn't matured much in all that time anyway. But yeah. So it is author, and there are actually
it's
some.
It's not chayv
mitzvah. There is it's makas maudis though. It's author at least for the it's author and therefore based in should give them makas maudis. Yeah. Okay. The divrei Rabbi Akiva in a chayv al achas. According to Rabbi Akiva though, you'd have to say you only chayv for one chatas. Lois tishkav and lois tishachav chadari. Because after all, the one word lois tishkav that you're learning from it two different acts. Okay. What about Habala, Behema, Behavi, Behema, Olav? Similarly, if a man is the active partner with the Behema and the passive partner, same thing. Amar Rav Avohu, L'divrei Rav Shmuel, Chayv Shtayim. According to Rav Shmuel, you'd have to be Chayv on two grounds. Chodem lo sitin shchav t'chav, chodem lo yachadish. Because again, you have two different psukim. L'divrei Rav Akiva, e'er Chayv al achas, shchav t'chav, shchivat t'chav, chodehi. Because again, you're learning it from the same pasuk, lo sitin shchav t'chav.
And the halacha is like who?
Well, the halacha would be like Rav Akiva, but wait. This is all according to Rabbi Bo. Abaya Omer, Abaya says no. Afilu l'divrei Rabbi Shmuel nami ein chayv al achas. When it comes to the people, when it comes to Mishkav Zohar, I agree with Rabbi Bohu that there would be two because they're two different psukim. When it comes to an animal, though, even Rabbi Shmuel would say that it's only one chatas. The chiksiv lo yekodesh begavri ksiv, because the pasuk lo yekodesh is referring to men with men. It's not talking about people with animals.
Kadesh is right. How do we know it's not animals?
Because the lo yekodesh is referring to the znus. Animals, relations with animals cannot be considered znus. It actually brings on the basis of, for example, we have the mitzvah in the Torah, esnan zoyno, mechir kela, that you're not allowed to bring something that was used to hire a zoyno, or something that was used as an exchange for a dog. You're not allowed to use things as korbanos, but it's only those two. It's a esnan kela would be mutter. If somebody were to give somebody else a present so that I will give somebody else a gift or payment or whatever so that I can do, so I can have relations with your dog, it would be also, it would be chayv misa and whatever, but the thing itself doesn't become also for the thing itself that he used for payment wouldn't become also for a carbon because ain't nus la behema, because relations with a behema are not considered nus.
What is
it then? It's an isser. It's a different kind of it's an isser. Whatever it is, it's a different kind of isser. We actually had in Yevamos as well something along those lines as well that we had, for example, if a woman was mizana with her, not mizana because we're saying it's not nus, whatever, if a woman committed bestiality with an animal, she'd still technically be considered a basula, and as long as if she did shalai kedark or whatever, she'd still be considered a basula technically and be able to marry a kohen gadol. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. So El Rabbi Shmuel has heard of the Mishkav and Olay. Fine. And in that case, where is Rabbi Shmuel learning that if you have a passive partner with an animal, you're chayev, given if we're saying that lo yekodesh doesn't work for that? The answer is not going to be kol sheichav in behema mois yumas. He says, again, you learn it from the pasuk in Mishpatim, kol sheichav in behema mois yumas, im eina inyan lo sheichav tenei inyan lo mishkav. Now, again, like we said before, when it comes to the oinish, we don't need it to teach us the oinish because we have a pasuk in Kedoshim for that, together with the rest of the Arayas. So therefore, it must mean the Nishkav. The Apke Rachmana la Nishkav Veloshen Shoichev. However, then why in that case, why does the Torah say Kol Nishkav in Behema? Why say Kol Shoichev and then have to say that it means, but not Shoichev, it means Nishkav? Why does the Torah phrase the Nishkav using the word Shoichev, meaning Ma Shoichev Onash V'Hizir? It comes to teach us like this. Just like when it comes to the Shoichev, the active partner, the Pasuk is telling us the punishment in Parshas Kedoshim and a warning not to do it in Parshas Achrimos. Af Nishkav Onash V'Hizir. The same thing. When it comes to the Nishkav, the Torah is using the word kol sheichav in behema to mean the Nishkav to teach us the same thing applies to both of them. We kind of have the Onish and the Azhara in the same pasuk over there. The word kol sheichav in behema, mois yumas, you're meant to understand, number one, it means you're not allowed to be the Nishkav, and number two, if you do, then you're chayav mitzvah.
Seems to think like Rabbi Akiva says, the sheichav is sheichav and Nishkav.
Sort of. I mean, he still is learning. He still is learning from the pasuk called Shoichav and Behema. But we said before according to Rabbi Shmuel. No, Rabbi Shmuel. We said learn the Azhara from called Behema Loisit and Shchav. So now he's saying though the Nishkav we're still learning from a different pasuk. We're learning from called Shoichav and Behema Loisit Yuma.
Yeah, but we're giving it as an explanation.
We're giving it as an explanation that we're comparing it. That we're comparing it. Yeah. Okay. So in that sense, it's like Rabbi Akiva. Fine. Okay. Well, that's why Rabbi. That's why Rabbi is saying you only chayav for one. Okay.
Yeah, but Rabbi Ishmael should agree with that, no?
Well, that's according to Abaye. He agrees with the behavior. It's not only chayav one. If it was, if you were both active and passive.
No, but with the lashon.
Yeah. No, it's so. Yeah. Okay. He doesn't hold that loisishkav can mean loisitin shchavdcha can mean loisitin shchivasta, but he holds that kol shoychem in behemah, yeah, can mean either one. Okay. Fine. How about another case? Hanubala zocher v'hanubala behemah. What about somebody was the passive partner with a zocher and with a behemah? Amar Rav Abba, the Rav Akiva chayev shtayim. Again, according to Rav Akiva, you'd be chayev two chatois. Chodem loisishkav v'chodem loisitin shchavdcha, because according to Rav Akiva, you have two different psukim. Here, on the other hand, according to Rabbi Shmuel, you should only be chayav one chatos, because aydi v'aydi lo yekadeshu, because both of them, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Abba, remember, Abaye is the one who's saying that kadesh does not apply to relations with animals. Rabbi Abba disagrees with that. So there, kadesh does mean with animals as well. He uses the original version of how Rabbi Shmuel learned it, not from kol shoychem and behema, meaning the nishkav, but rather from lo yekadesh. So therefore, according to him, Rabbi Shmuel is saying lo yakadosh means a man who is a passive partner either for a man or for a behemah. Right. Therefore, the helam achad, if in one period of not knowing a man were to be the passive partner with a zocher and with a behemah, according to Rabbi Shmuel, it would be only one. Whereas Rabbi Akiva learns it from two different psukim, so according to him, it would be chatoi. Yeah. Again, Abaye Amar Filo Jiv Rabbi Shmuel Nami Chayev Shtayim. No, here according to Rabbi Shmuel, no, Fakir, you would only be you would be Chayev two either way. Why? According to Abaye says, according to Rabbi Shmuel, you're going to be Chayev two either way. Namely, Dichtiv Kol Sheichem and Behemah Moisumas, because the pasuk says again, anybody who lies with an animal Moisumas, and again, Im Eina Inyan LaSheichet, Tnei Inyan LaNishkav. Again, he says like before that we're not learning it from Lo Yekadosh, because Kadosh doesn't apply between people and animals.
You're learning from Sheichem and
Nishkav. The Afkir Achmanim bin LaNishkav Balashim Sheichet. The pasuk is referring to the Nishkav using the word Sheichet. Ma Sheichet Onash V'Hizir, Af Nishkav Onash V'Hizir. So you have the word shoychev, and you have the other lav lesit and shkaltecha. Even Rabbi Shmuel would have to agree with that. That in other words, Rabbi Shmuel would say kol shoychev and behemah does not mean active at all, because that you have in parshas Achrimos. Instead, it means passive, and that we're using it for both the onish and the azhara. Therefore, two psukim, two chatos. Okay. Aval habala skur behemis zocher ala habala behemah 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 ala. What if he went full the full thing? He did active and passive with a zocher and active and passive with a behemah. Bein l'Rav Abahu, bein l'Abaye, l'Rav Shmuel chayv shalosh l'Rav Akiva chayv shtayim. Then either Rav Abahu and Abaye will agree that Rav Shmuel will say you're going to be chayv on three grounds. You have lo tishkav, lo yakadosh, and lo sitin shkaltecha. And you have one other pasuk that teaches us that being you have lo sishkav, which teaches us active with the zocher, lo yakadosh for passive with the zocher, lo sitin shchavtecha for active with the animal, and lo yakadosh also includes passive with the animal. So therefore, three according to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva would say that you have two psukim for zocher, one for you have loisishkav and loyakadosh for active and passive. Behema, the two of them are both learned from the same pasuk loisitin shchavtecha. So therefore, it would come out to be according to Abaye as well, according to Rabbi Shmuel.
But for different reasons.
For different reasons, right. Rabbi Akiva chayev shtayim, and according to Rabbi Akiva, you would say that both of them would agree that you're only chayev two, because again, Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold that you learn from lo yakadosh at all. He leaves out lo yakadosh according to everybody. So therefore, you only have
it.
He doesn't need it because he learns that lo sishkav means also lo sishatev, and lo sitin shchavtecha also means lo sitin shchivatecha. So therefore, you only have two. Turn up on it. We learn in a braisa. Zchur lo also by katan kegadol. When it comes to Mishkav Zachar, we said the Chachamim did not equate a katan and a gadol. Namely, as we're going to say in a minute, as we explained outside at the beginning of the Gemara, but the Gemara is going to spell it out over here, that with a schor only if the passive partner is 9 or older is the chiyuv misa. If he's less than 9, there's no chiyuv misa. Although the Rambam says it's makas maris. The passive partner, yeah. The active partner for that matter as well. If the active one is 9, if the active one is 9 and the passive one is a gadol, still the passive one is going to get misa and the active one, the katan, is not. Yeah. Okay. So, zchur like also a katan gadol. When it comes to mishkav zachor, the chacham did not equate a katan below 9 and a gadol. A katan meaning between 9 and 13 and a gadol, less than 9 with a gadol. Behema also a katan gadol. Whereas with a behema, we don't make such a distinction. A katan is just like a gadol. So, my like also a katan gadol. What does that mean? Amarav like also bias pachos mi benteisha shanim to benteisha shanim. It means that we don't consider the bia of a boy less than 9 to be the equivalent of a bia of a boy above 9.
No bia before 9.
That's the point. In other words, that's the point. We're saying that. In other words, that if he's less than 9 and he's physically capable of doing something, but it's not considered bia. We don't consider it bia, and therefore there's no chiyuv misa involved. Not for the cotton, of course. Cotton's not chiyuv misa either way, but not for the gadol either. Or Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says it has a different meaning. It means not 9. The cutoff point Shmuel says is 3.
9 plus
you could have the opposite 3. What is the underlying machlokes? Why would let's say we're talking the passive one, but whatever. Why would Shmuel say the cutoff point is 3? Rav Sava called the Isib a Sheikh of Isib in Nishkav. Rav says like this. According to Rabbi Akiva, and the halachas like Rabbi Akiva, since we're learning Shoichav and Nishkav from the same pasuk, we're learning Lois Tishkav meaning also Lois Yishachav, therefore the same thing has to be the same. Therefore it has to be the same. Called the Isay B'Shoichav, anybody who's capable of being Shoichav, namely 9, because less than 9 is not considered Bia,
has to be a
Nishkav. Isay B'Nishkav, only he is capable of being a Nishkav where it would be a Chiyuv Misa. Behold, the less of the Shoichav, where if he's not capable of being the Shoichav, because he's less than 9, less of a Nishkav, then Nishkav doesn't apply to him either.
That's
according to Rav. Or Shmuel Sava Mishkav Eishikzi. That's according to Rav. Where's according to Shmuel? Shmuel Sava Mishkav Eishikzi. That Shmuel says, yes, but the fact of the matter is, the pasuk speaks of it as Mishkav Eishah, like the lines with a woman. With a woman, the cutoff point is 3. A woman, a bia with her at 3 or over is considered bia, as opposed to less than that is not. Therefore, Shmuel says, the pasuk is evidently telling us that when it comes to a zachar being the passive partner, evidently the cutoff point is also 3. Tanya Kava said to Rab, we learn a braisa in accordance with Rab. Zachar ben teisha shanim v'yamechad abal abahema. If a zachar 9 years old has relations with an animal, ben kedauka ben shalai kedauka, whether kedauka or not, either way, it's still considered revea. V'isham v'yas abahema aleh ben kedauka ben shalai kedauka, or it's a woman who is a passive partner with an animal, and it's kedauka or shalai kedauka. Either way, we're chayav. So we see the braisa specifically says teisha shanim v'yamechad, and so therefore. So therefore we understand that the cutoff point is nine.
The point is
Rashi says we're not talking. When we say habala behema, when we say habala behema doesn't only mean that he's the active partner. It can also be the passive partner. Rashi says the same way as, first of all,
he goes on the behemoth.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but no, but he can also be the passive one for the behemoth. He can have the behemoth be bought all of. Rashi points out also the reason is, so one thing is, why are we mentioning specifically Zchur? The same thing applies to any Arayis, any a cotton with any Arayis, 9 is the cutoff point. If the Braisa is mentioning specifically Zachar and Teisha Shanim, Abala Behema, Va'isham V'yas Behema Aleh, the implication is that 9 is the cutoff point as far as Zchur and as far as Behema as well. Not like Shmuel says the cutoff point is 2.
And that's the
halacha.